All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Tuesday, January 9th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
Doug Norrie's best friend.
Oh, James Davis of DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com. For short, head on over to the site and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our great friends over at Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel, which has been FanDuel and DraftKings, which have been absolutely crushing it over the short term. So go check that out. It's free for 3 days and then just $34.95 a month. And you're all good to go. We had a slight technical issues last week with the podcast late in the week. So sorry about that. We're back again in full recording mode this week. We'll be here today and then tomorrow and then Friday as well for basketball. So put that on your calendar, schedule, whatever that you use to download your podcasts, and you're all good to go. We're going to break down a pretty short Tuesday slate of games. Doesn't start till 7:30, only four games tonight. Came pretty close to winning GBP last night with our base lineups. I mean, it was one of those nights where it was very difficult to get a hold on which big money guys to spend on, and it eventually just kind of went down the middle with mid-tier values. And then there was certain guys that I felt pretty confident with in terms of our projections that were really low owned, guys like DeAndre Jordan without Blake, Lou Williams, though his ownership was a little high, and DraftKings Jokic was really low owned. It was the guy that our system was high on. So it was a really good night all around for the basketball system. Feeling good about it. So my confidence level is irrationally high right now, but I don't feel like I can say anything wrong. So if you hear me say something,
then it feels wrong to me. I'll just assume that it's probably right. Is that what you're saying?
You should definitely assume it's right because that's kind of the mindset that I'm in right now. So we'll do a quick one here. Only four games, kind of a ugly slate of games here with the four teams. I don't know, when you look at this late and you see some of these teams that are on here, I mean, Toronto, OKC, Miami, slow Dallas, slow teams, pretty good at defense, all things considered. Your general feeling on slates like this, are they stayaways from you? Does it not really matter to you and everything just kind of value is value and it's just, you know, it just looks different on certain nights? What are your general feelings on shorter slates like this?
Yeah, I mostly feel bored a little bit when I look at slates like this, just to be honest, just because there is a little bit of value. Like, we'll get probably a little Shabazz Napier action tonight if Lillard sits. And I think he's close to being rolled out. I'm not sure if that's totally confirmed at this point. But outside of that, I mean, the only really good matchup is Sacramento playing at the Lakers. And it's Sacramento. Like, it's really hard to capitalize on that level of value, too. So, yeah, I guess Dallas at Orlando. But again, Dallas doesn't really feature a lot of high-flying, high-profile DFS plays. So, yeah, I just don't feel very excited. So hopefully that doesn't spoil you for this podcast. The interesting thing is that it will be a hard slate. And so I think getting extra information and getting an extra edge is pretty important on a night like tonight. It's just that the overall winning score probably won't be 390 on FanDuel.
Yeah, like it was last night. The scores were, I think the top GPP score was like somewhere over four, a little north of 400, which is just the late nature of the night. There were a lot of cheap plays that went off. Bobby Portis, Davis, Bertans went off. Just a lot of these cheap guys got there. And then these mid-range guys, Ariza and Avery Bradley, when those guys that are like in the 4,000, 5,000 range start going 8-9x, now you're really looking at some pretty high scores. So yeah, I agree that this is definitely not going to be one of those kinds of nights. We'll go through some of these games and take a look at the injury information and stuff that is going to creep up. One of the big things here, Miami goes into Toronto. Toronto's -6.5. Kyle Lowry came down really awkwardly last night. At first, it looked like his leg, and then I guess it was more of a back issue where he had back spasms the way he landed on the ground. I'd be shocked if he played. He's listed as questionable right now. The way he went down, I mean, look, I'm not a doctor, so the way he went down and kind of landed on the floor, it did look bad. I'm actually kind of really surprised that he's only questionable. I'm going to guess he doesn't play here on the back-to-back. It doesn't make any sense to risk, just especially with back injuries, which
seems they got a real season going here. Like, why press it in just a random game against Miami?
Okay, so let's talk about this Lowry thing then. Then it's a little hard to figure out because you have a couple of point guard types. You have Fred VanVleet and you have DeLon Wright. I guess of the two, VanVleet is a little more as a point guard, and it feels like he would get the start. It also feels like Wright could play a lot of minutes too, and then we have DeRozan. What do we want to do here? When you lose a guy like Lowry, there's a lot of opportunity opens up, especially in good teams like Toronto. What do we think we want to do in attacking this Raptor situation?
Yeah, I think that's what would count as value on a night like tonight. I think to start, losing a guy like Lowry, I mean, we've talked about Lowry and DeRozan as the anchors both for real life and for fantasy on the Raptors. And losing Lowry, not only do you lose a ton of usage, shots that go in the air, you use a ton of time of possession as well. Now, he doesn't have quite as many as some point guards or quite as much time of possession per game, simply because DeRozan, I think he's the third highest time of possession guy. This is one of my favorite stats, in case you can't tell. I think he's the third highest time of possession player who's not a point guard in all of the NBA. And the other guys are like LeBron James and Ben Simmons, so effectively point guards half the time. So losing Lowry means less than losing, say, like, you know, Steph Curry or something like that, but it still means quite a bit. And certainly it means a lot in terms of those minutes, because the guys you mentioned, Fred VanVleet and DeLon Wright, these guys are cheap, and I think you can get pretty significant value there. Now, which one you want to play, it probably just comes down to who starts. And since this is the first game on the night, I assume we'll know by then. There's an argument, though, that if DeLon Wright gets a start, you could maybe play Fred VanVleet anyway. He's been playing around 20 minutes a game and kind of paying value on 3,600 as it is. And we've talked about this many times. So that's kind of the sweet spot where you want to be for a punt. If Fred VanVleet were to get the start, then he's a clear, like a chalk, overwhelming chalk play. You actually wind up with a pretty tough decision between him and Napier, in my mind, if VanVleet gets a start. And this is assumed Lillard sits as well. But yeah, I mean, that would be huge on such a short slate with so many good defenses.
I think where you're really going to be able to grab this is on DraftKings, where these guys are multi-positional eligible. Like, so we'll get to Napier in a second, obviously, but Napier qualifies as a shooting guard over on DraftKings. And when that happens, and so does DeLon Wright. Sure. And so when you get these guys for multi-position eligibility, now all of a sudden you're just talking about playing all three. I think that's completely in the cards over there. I think even if one of them wasn't the start, I think VanVleet, it's really encouraging that these guys play somewhat quality minutes anyway. Like, this is always the concern when you lose, sometimes you lose a point guard or you really lose anybody, and it's really not always a one-for-one comp of like what's going to happen when this new guy comes in. The fact that they already play these guys is really encouraging, and I think on DraftKings you might be looking at a situation where you just sort of play all three of them, and it's really just the best way for you to fit in Westbrook, who we'll get to in a little bit here too. And then there's obviously DeRozan. DeRozan is already a pretty high usage guy on the season. He's like a 30 usage for the season. And when Lowry goes down, with Lowry off the court, you want to take a quick guess what his usage goes up to with Lowry off the court? Now, the sample size is kind of small.
38.
Close, but you're low. 42. 42.1.
So that is just for layman at home, in case you understand. 41% of the time, or 42% of the time, a possession ends with DeRozan either shooting the ball or turning it over.
That's correct.
That's pretty
high. It is going to be 20-digit shots, something like that. He already gets up there into the
20s. 20-digit shots. Doug is calling right now for a quadrillion shots from DeRozan.
I knew that sounded wrong coming off the tongue. Didn't feel good coming off the hand. That was what I said. I knew it. I knew I had said something wrong. Okay, yeah. 20 shots. I think 20 plus shots is easily in the cards here for DeRozan. He makes, and it's a really interesting decisions here tonight, because we have two teams whose decent usage point guards, higher with Lillard, point guards are out, and their mid range or higher shooting guards get huge usage bumps, and McCollum's kind of in the same thing. So anyway, DeRozan. Is definitely, if Lowry's out, I suspect he's very much a chalk play on a night where it's difficult to spend up 100%. Really after Westbrook. And then, the Toronto situation is going to be one. Thankfully, this game is the first one, 7:30 slate. We'll have all the information we need, I believe. Even if Lowry was testing in warmups, we'll know. I think we'll have a pretty clear idea of what's going to happen. And the Raptors, I mean, for what it's worth, Raptors at times have not been the best at reporting injury information. Maybe that's left over a little bit from last season, but they're a classic team that they just wait and wait and wait, and you have to wait till Dwayne Casey's like pregame interview, and then even then you're not totally sure. So just something we're gonna definitely have to monitor. On the Miami side, you know, we're not really worried about blowout risk. Miami has injury issues of its own. Deion Waiters is going to sit again. We've seen big minutes out of even like Wayne Ellington off the bench. James Johnson's back in the fold, though not starting. He's back to a six-man role. Anything you like? Tyler Johnson's still starting. Anything you like here on the Miami side?
Yeah, not particularly. Like, I guess nothing that overwhelmingly seems amazing, but I think you can find some filler here to flesh out your cash game lineups. Guys like Josh Richardson, you know, he's been playing tons and tons of minutes, high 30s, cresting into the low 40s minutes, been paying prices like these pretty handily, basically for weeks. And I don't know completely why the price hasn't gone up. Like, I know we played him against New York on the 5th, and he was excellent in that game. I'm not sure if he got there against Utah, but he was showing up in preliminary lineups in that matchup as well. And yeah, I've just looked on this game log. You're going to see a lot of games with 30-plus fantasy points, even in tough matchups like Utah or Detroit. And that's just based on the role he plays on this team and the number of minutes he gets. Somewhat scoring dependent, but can kind of chip in other areas too. But on a night where small forward is pretty bad, I think Richardson is a pretty safe reprieve. And Toronto's kind of interesting in terms of a defensive matchup because they are pretty strong defensively, but they're playing much faster this year relative to their past. They actually have the 9th fastest pace in the league. So again, on a 4-game slate where teams like Oklahoma City and Dallas and Miami are playing, Toronto isn't the worst matchup in the world. So I do like Richardson quite a bit. And then I'm curious to hear what you think about this one, just because the center position is just simply horrendous tonight.
Yep.
And there's a guy called Hassan Whiteside who's been coming up from Miami, kind of out of nowhere this season. But Whiteside, I just don't know what to make of his minutes. Like, and you did the minutes audit last night. And just so if you don't know, if you're out there, we audit every single player and every single team every single night to make sure that we have the right number of minutes. How many minutes are you giving this guy? Because the last 5 games, he's all over the damn place. And I know he's kind of still trending back up from injury, but I don't know what to project in terms of his minutes.
Well, the problem is these aren't injury-related minutes. He's healthy. And so that's actually the biggest concern, is that his minutes. So if you go back through his game log, you get the 3 games where he was kind of coming back from injury. He goes 18, then 20, then 29. And you're like, Okay, great, 29. The training wheels are off here. He is going to start playing real Hassan Whiteside minutes. And then against Detroit, just goes back to 17 minutes. Now, that was the game Boban started, and they just didn't play him during crunch time. And they actually even did an interview, because I read an interview, because I was really confused, because we played him in all of our DraftKings lineups that night, because he was like so cheap. He was like 6,000 or something like that, 6,600. And I was really just confused. Did he get hurt? And they did an interview with him after the game, and he said, oh no, the coach just didn't need me, and I feel pretty good about it, which is a very un-Whiteside kind of thing to say. That means he's been fully cultured into Miami. So good for them making it so that he is like into their culture. Yeah, he's just a team player. But he was just like, no, it's just fine, I didn't play. But if you're not going to play crunch time in a game where you're, in a defensive game where you're winning, that's a really troubling sign for me for Whiteside. Yeah. So I gave him like 24 or 25 minutes. I don't think you can give him anything more than that. I think there is a scenario where he plays 30 and then you're really crushing it. So I just don't know, but you just really can't be safe. They're rotation dependent now. We've seen that the Raptors don't feel incentivized to always play Valanciunas. And if that's the case, then you might not see Whiteside at all. Like, they could really go small with just Olynyk at the 5. And so we can't really give Whiteside like 32, 30 minutes.
Between Johnson and Olynyk, they can credibly cover bigs on most teams. And it's not like Toronto particularly punishes you in that regard. And as the league continues to go smaller, I guess it makes sense. But center is just, I guess we'll mention, I think there's one play I'm relatively excited about at center tonight. It's not Whiteside, but he is in that kind of rotation of guys I'm considering. But yeah, outside of that, it's pretty grisly.
Whiteside's pretty close for me. Like I said, he's still coming cheap. The minutes and the only 7,100 on DraftKings. If you think he's going to play 27 minutes, 71 is kind of a deal for him. Yeah. So, I only have him at 24 right now. All right, let's move into the next game. Portland goes in and takes on OKC. I think you do see Westbrook as complete chalk tonight, only because there's just no one to spend for. On DraftKings, the highest so these are the pricing on DraftKings. DraftKings, you have a Russ at 11.5. The next most expensive guy is Aaron Gordon at $8,600, $3,000 less. I'm not sure we've ever seen a bigger spread of salary from the top player to the next player ever. And then on FanDuel, it's 11.8 for Westbrook. And then you have to go all the way down $2,500 to DeRozan at 9.3. I can't remember a time that we've seen a bigger discrepancy in terms of price. If you had to guess what Westbrook's ownership percentage on both sites tonight, and especially considering where we stand with just all the cheap guys that we've already mentioned, just the guards that we've mentioned. I mean, are we looking at like 95% ownership? I can't see a scenario where he's just not that high owned in cash. I've been wrong about these things before, but this one doesn't feel like it's the situation where it almost feels like anything lower than 100% feels too low. What are your thoughts here on the ownership percentage in Westbrook?
It has to top 90%. I don't see any way around it, because even casual players, when they come into play, like, they're going to want to play Westbrook and they're going to find a way to make it work. And when there's no other expensive guy, I feel like people are almost just, even if it were a bad play, it's a good play. Like, this isn't a bad play whatsoever. Even if it were a bad play, people would still find a way to do it, because it just feels weird to not have some big name player in your lineup. And yeah, I think for that reason, you'll see Westbrook as a nearly unanimous play. It will be interesting, though, if we get like a really tough decision because you won't really get any payoffs for it. But if you got Napier and Fred VanVleet starting, those are two elite level punts. Like Napier is basically a must play on a full slate at a $4,800 price tag when Lillard was out. And we saw him pay these prices handily. I think that Fred VanVleet's probably not a punt on that order, but the price is so low that I would really be looking to play him as well. Maybe the answer is just to play on DraftKings where you can play all these guys. But on FanDuel, like, is there a price to where you would not play Westbrook and take those two punts? Like, or is there a scenario where you can imagine that coming to fruition? Or is it just the lack of payoffs is so severe that you just don't get anything for your savings?
Not in cash. You can't do it. There's no reason to fade that chalk. I don't think there's a reason in the sense that there are cheap plays and the optics on it would be so weird. And you'd be almost like from a mental standpoint, it wouldn't make sense, I don't think. And there's just no reason to, right? Like if you can just go to war with the rest of your lineup and feel good about it. Now in GBP, I think it's interesting because if you think he's going to be like 65 to 70% owned in GBP, which is I think a realistic scenario. Yeah. I think you can think about fading him. There are scenarios where he, you know, the game turns into a blowout and just like
sometimes
just
he only scores 45 fantasy points. Like that does happen to him occasionally. And if he does that, he will not be on the winning GPP lineup, right?
Right. So right now, if you run lineups on our tool, you get when you run a lineup with Westbrook, you get something like 300 projected fantasy points. If you take him out, I was expecting to see a bigger dip. You actually can get a lineup that has like 296 and a half. Yeah, like, and that's actually not, that's not all that big of a drop off. Yeah. If that's mostly filled in with guys like DeRozan and McCollum that we talked about, like Aaron Gordon, who has big upside at times. I think you have enough upside plays in that mid range that you can consider doing it. And that is definitely something I will be doing tonight because I think that you just see, I mean, it might even just go so much the other way because people are going to know that he's going to be that's the guy to fade, that right. Maybe the ownership levels trend and GBP lower than they should. But I think there's definitely a case for doing it. And I think there's a case for doing it. Not as well, it's actually funny. It's not, there's not as much of a case on DraftKings only because all your other guard positions are filled up by those cheap guys. So you actually can't end up playing as much DeRozan and McCollum as you want because you get stuck with all the cheap guys that we mentioned. Yep. So actually at DraftKings, I think it's less of a scenario because you are not getting any of the other mid-tier payoffs. On Portland side, we talked about obviously Napier, McCollum as well. Do you think that, you know, if we're looking at DeRozan versus McCollum, I guess they're not exactly the same price. They fall into somewhat the same range. McCollum at 7,500 on DraftKings, DeRozan at 83, and then on FanDuel, DeRozan's significantly more expensive at 9,300. Do you have a conviction about who you'd rather, if you only had the room to maybe fit one of these guys, understanding that DeRozan is more significantly more expensive on FanDuel, do you have a conviction about who you'd rather prioritize in that shooting guard position?
Yeah, I think I'd rather have DeRozan. I just feel like the floor is a little bit higher. I think McCollum, we've seen him even without Lillard out there just disappear. I just think he's not quite as assertive enough. Now, he's been very good recently and, you know, an emotional sort of player, a streaky sort of player. You know, I think that does exist in the NBA, even if it's not shooting percentage, there's just sheer volume taken, how actively involved you are in the game. I think McCollum is trending upward, but I think DeRozan without Lowry is just such a lock. And there, again, I think there's plenty of value elsewhere that I would just as soon take DeRozan as a slight payoff and leave McCollum. I mean, maybe I'll play both, you know, but I think I don't feel like I need to prioritize McCollum. It's a bad matchup too. Like the slow team in Oklahoma City and a good defensive team. So I don't feel the need to prioritize him.
All right, hit us up with a sponsor and then we'll cover these last two games.
Yeah, let's talk about fantasyfactor.com. Fantasyfactor.com is still the place where I recommend new players go play if they're first getting into DFS. And the reason for that is playing on FanDuel and DraftKings these days is hard. There's a lot of big money going into these matchups. There's a lot of players putting in hundreds of lineups into every single contest imaginable. On fantasyfactor.com, you really don't have that. You know, you have smaller contests, more casual environment, easier for new players to kind of get their feet wet, as it were, and make some money. And so that's where I recommend all new players go first check out salary cap game format like you're used to. Great software, works exactly how you expect. They've been around in the industry for a while. In my opinion, totally trustworthy place to deposit and play. So fantasyfactor.com, check them out. If you're still nervous, they always have free rolls for both the NBA and the NFL each weekend. So I suspect they'll have another one Friday free roll for the NBA and an NFL free roll on Sunday. So check them out, fantasyfactor.com.
All right. The next game we have going here is the 8:30 game. Orlando goes in and plays Dallas. Only real big injury news, and it's not even huge. I guess it is relevant. Is Jonathan Simmons is questionable. He sat with back spasm. He sat out last game, and we saw that the front court minutes, well, I guess he's not front court. The small forward sort of shooting guard minutes did go mostly Mary Hosonia's way. He started and played 39 against the Cavs, where they just barely lost to Cleveland 131-127. And we did see more minutes from Fournier, and then guys like Gordon got into foul trouble. Where do we stand on Orlando? They're a very bad team, nearly impossible to watch, but and it says a lot about them. They're 7-point underdogs to Dallas, who is really bad. So again, this is like look yourself in the mirror territory when you're 7-point underdogs to the Mavericks. But if Simmons weren't to start, would we feel comfortable with guys like Hosonia? Do we feel like we have enough of a track record on his minutes, guys like Fournier, and their production? Fournier hasn't really been all that good this season, but where do we stand on some of these Magic guys?
Yeah, Hosonia would be a must play if Simmons were to sit again. Short slate, not that many punts to begin with. Excellent on these prices when he was highly owned in his last matchup. Easy 85% plus ownership if Simmons winds up sitting. So be happy to play him. I do think Fournier is interesting. He's actually someone that I saw a few sharps out there on in the Cleveland game, and he didn't perform especially well, but the minutes were there. You know, he played 37 minutes, which was his most minutes since returning back from injury. And I think that could trend even higher. And while, again, Dallas isn't a phenomenal matchup just based on how fast they play, they've been pretty bad defensively this season. Their 107 defensive efficiency is the worst that they've posted in half a decade at least. So I do think Fournier is a solid play. And again, there's not that much shooting guard value around. So I think Hosonia is a must, and Fournier, totally reasonable play too.
Yep, I'm pretty much there with you. Gordon was a guy who actually we were very high on going into last game, and he was great. He just got in the foul trouble.
Yeah, don't mind Gordon. Gordon's fine.
He took 26 shots last game, only went 1 of 8 from three. Still paid his price pretty easily, and that was only in 3 minutes.
45 minutes on the table too. Like, he could have easily played 36 minutes the way that game was going.
Oh yeah, if you look at these other starters, the plan was to play in this game. The plan was to play him 38 minutes easily. He just simply couldn't stay out of foul trouble, trying to guard LeBron and just like some of those down low sloppy fouls. But I'm completely on him again tonight. He's another reason, like we mentioned before, about if you're going to think about fading Russ, these are guys in this upper middle tier that just do have some upside if they can just stay in the game. Dallas, though, I don't know about this team. They're not really playing outside of Barnes and Wesley Matthews. Really, nobody plays any real minutes. Dennis Smith plays like 30 minutes. Yogi Ferrell still comes off the bench. Kleber, I mean, whatever. He seems like a starter because they need a guy to throw out there with their starting unit. And Dirk, I mean, any interest here in Dallas? I'm not seeing anything, but maybe you see something I don't.
I hate this team. I hate their whole organization because they can't seem to produce a single relevant DFS player. Harrison Barnes qualifies by default just because he plays a lot of minutes, but he and Wesley Matthews, I wonder if the people at FanDuel, this is something I've suspected for a while, if they also just, for some reason, there's someone who really hates the Mavs. You know, maybe it's like a Heat fan or something, if such a thing exists. Because they're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to always make these players a little bit too expensive to be interesting for DFS purposes. And so these guys will just have 4% ownership for the whole season, and people will just forget this team exists. Because that's what winds up happening. I do think both Matthews and Barnes in a positive matchup here are not guys you should X out of your lineups if they come in when you click calculate on our site at dfsr.com/NBA. They're both reasonable plays. I think they're pretty secure in their minutes here because they're pretty unlikely to get blown out, which is the risk with Dallas sometimes. And you're not going to be excited when you see their names in the lineup. So that's buyer beware.
The problem you have with Barnes and Matthews is the same problem you have at times with like the Timberwolves and teams like this. And they just, their minutes are so steady, and they just play 35, 36 minutes on lock every single night. Mm-hmm. And that just leaves their production just with no standard deviation to it. Like, it just, it's just the same thing every night. And then when that's the case, you're always just a tick higher than anyone really, really realistically wants to pay. And I think
that's a good matchup with Orlando. Like, Orlando is a bottom five defensive efficiency team and a top six pace team. So this is the type of matchup where you can play guys like that. And if you're still not excited, that just goes to show what's going on with this team and these prices. So
final game of the night, it starts at 10:30, so there might be injury news hanging out there. I'm not sure it's going to totally matter. Sacramento goes in and plays the Lakers. The news we're waiting on here is the point guard situation between George Hill and Frank Mason is now questionable after having not played. Darren Fox had played a lot of minutes. The only reason I'm not worried about this situation is because of all the other point guard value that we've mentioned already. So, and this is the Kings, and this, why risk it? And that's kind of how I feel about the Kings. Like, if you, I mean, Fox was interesting when he was like basically the sole ball carrier. Ball carrier is football. Ball handler. thinking about football going up later. Ball handler. With these other guys possibly coming back, it's less exciting. And the rest of the Kings, I mean, we talk about this a ton. It's the Kings. Now, the Lakers side, they're interesting. So they had some controversy the other day about, I gotta hand it to Lonzo Ball. The dad is such a clown. Like
The dad's name, right? What's his dad's name?
The dad's LeVar. Name is LeVar. It's amazing you don't know that off the top of your head. The dad's name is LeVar.
Well, you know
LeVar
comes out. I cannot know a thing.
LeVar Ball comes out and says Luke Walton has lost the team. All the players hate him, and no one else corroborates the story. ESPN posts the story. No one else really corroborates it. I got to hand it to Lonzo Ball because Lonzo Ball, for how clownish the dad is, like the guy never says a word. Like he's just like it's almost like he's been traumatized or something like that. He just has no opinion or anything. He never says anything about anybody. But his minutes the other day trend back up to 30. After coming back from injury, do you think that the minutes for him are trending in the direction where he could be a guy we could take a stab at in GPP? He went 27-30. My guess is somewhere around 33-34 if the game stays close. Guy's got triple-double upside. I'm not sure, and I think he'll be very low-owned tonight. Give me any thoughts here on the Lakers playing against the Kings. Lakers are a team we've wanted to target in the past. It's, I don't know if we're trending back to not wanting to do it, but any thoughts here on the Lakers?
Yeah, I think Ball's a great call out in terms of just monster upside for big tournaments. Sacramento, as of this podcast, has the lowest defensive efficiency by far in the entire NBA, the full 2 points worse than the second worst team in New Orleans. So that's just a really, really excellent spot to try to pick around and try to find some value. Now, they do play pretty slowly, which can sometimes limit the upside that you get. You know, you just have fewer possessions overall, but it's not like the Lakers are any great shakes necessarily. So this game staying close and perhaps providing extra possessions on the back end could, you know, because I think some of the reason that Sacramento's pace has been pretty slow is that the game is just over. And so teams don't need to run out and transition or even try to beat them. But I think this one should stay relatively close if Vegas lines are to be believed. Lakers favorite by just 6.5 points, which is the second tightest spread on the day. And so, yeah, I think you'll see a lot of people kind of rooting around for value in this game. I don't want to dismiss Sacramento out of hand for big tournament purposes either, simply because the Lakers are the fastest team on the slate by a mile. And while there isn't a lot of security in some of these plays, guys like Bogdan Bogdanovic, never be able to say that name correctly. He's played 32 plus minutes in each of his last two games and paid his prices. You know, people have wanted to dabble in the old Buddy Hield category from time to time. He hasn't really gone off. He's pretty scoring dependent, but in a fast-paced game against the Lakers, you could see some value there. You know, Zebo's a guy who occasionally just randomly plays 30 plus minutes. So I think there are GPP shots you can take in this game. And for cash games, I actually think there's plenty of safety elsewhere if you just want to look there.
Yeah, you're mostly looking, I think, for the front court for both of these teams. If you're just looking for some upside, like you mentioned, Zebo, and you get Scott Labissiere, like at times he has paid off his price just in limited minutes. He's one of these like just fantasy points per minute guys that just can't get the minutes. The problem with the Kings is just always the minutes. That's just really the only issue, is that they're most of their upside is firmly capped, just because no one is going. The most upside you get in the NBA is when your guy just randomly plays. I mean, look, you can go off of like, you know, just shoot the lights out or whatever it is and grab a bunch of steals. But most of the upside comes from when your guy just randomly plays a 38-minute game, or you get to overtime or something like that. Like, that's where you really start hitting supreme upside on guys. And that just isn't the case with the Kings. They just don't do that with any of their guys, no matter what the game situation. So that's really the only place you're capped. All right, we're going to get out of here. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is the site. DFSR.com for short. DFSR.com/NBA will get you that free 3-day trial. Also get you access to our members only chat. So you can go in there. We're always people are in there discussing basketball and NFL and stuff all day long. And James and I are specifically in there for the time leading up into the lock, and then kind of through the night talking about some strategies for basketball. So go and check that out. DFSR.com/NBA, free for 3 days, and then just $34.95 a month after that. We'll be back again tomorrow doing a full Wednesday podcast. We'll also have our NFL picks up coming for the divisional weekend. So go check all that out on the site. All right, buddy. Talk to you again tomorrow.
Worth winning if you can't win big.